So what shall we look at this morning?
So a couple of things. We had a conversation up at the monastery about communicating. And what stopped us? What was our process about not communicating? And it was fascinating because I communicated right away in group, not looking at my process of communicating and thereby just kind of repeating what some other people had said about what they saw, because I was like, yeah, I do that. And when I got out of group, I went, boy, that is not at all what happened.
Uh-huh.
You know, what really happened was I saw a couple of identities come up around communication. The first one was, I want to be the one to be first to let everybody know what's going on. Like, to be the good right person to have the information or the intel before everybody else. And if I don't feel like, in that ego identity, if it doesn't feel like it's going to get that hit, then it goes to the opposite of you're being a nuisance for pointing out things that they are, I'm sure they already know.
Uh-huh. So let me make sure I'm tracking that. You communicated in group without looking at your process about what stops you from communicating.
Yeah, just picked up on what other people had said.
And so that was the identity that was there then.
That was that identity.
But that when you were looking at it, really, about what stops you from communicating,
yeah,
it's the identity that goes, well, I already know. Is that it?
Well, no, I want to be the one who knows before everybody else knows.
Uh-huh.
And like, and I want to be the one to tell them and point it out. Like,
uh-huh. Yeah. So there's a way in which the identity gets validated,
yeah,
by being the person who has the information,
yes,
and is able to tell everyone else.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then if that isn't available because you don't have the information,
or it flips to the other side, which is well, I'm sure they know. Well, so you don't know anything special. So now you're just being a pain.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So the first
one... So then I don't communicate.
Uh-huh. So the first one communicates, but not in a...
Okay. Right.
But from that perspective of identification...
Right, right.
While the other one does not communicate.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, right.
And exactly. Then there's a third one that just agrees.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It just wants to join in and show that she's participating and mm-hmm. all of that kind of stuff. And what I saw just sitting in meditation was, where's that space of just saying, hey, I noticed this?
Yeah.
Without any, you know, is it right? Is it first? Is it...
Yeah.
Anything. Just, hey, I noticed this. And, or and I give didn't. It over. What?
Or I didn't.
Or I didn't. Right. But to just give it over in a sense of without... I mean, it's so Bhagavad Gita, or, you know, without worrying about the fruits of the action, you know, without worrying what the outcome is.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of what the thrust of looking at process is all about.
Yeah.
Right? That what we're encouraged and invited to do is to look at what happens.
Yeah.
Right? As yeah. a way of pointing to what's in the way of being here for what is so. Because I would project that what it ultimately points to is there's something wrong if you didn't notice. And there's something wrong if you did. Right? In either yeah. place, am I the right person? Because certainly it's producing a response from yeah. some authority that either says, good job that you noticed,
yeah.
or why didn't you notice?
Yeah.
In both cases, the second case, it's defensive. I did notice, but I thought you already knew.
Right, right, totally, totally. Right. That's very...
But until we see that, we don't realize that there's something that is distorting communication.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, of course, it's not distorting communication necessarily, which is one piece of it. It's just I'm not registering. I'm just not aware.
I was going to to say it stopped communication, but...
I know the incident you're talking about.
So. There you go.
Chapter and verse. So that place of, well, I either registered it or I didn't register it. Mm-hmm. But there's so much conditioning about, well, if I didn't register it, what's wrong with me? Because clearly everyone else did. And if I did register it and didn't say anything, what's wrong with me?
Well, yeah, but, you know, then it's easy to say, well, I just got here.
You go to the other side.
It's not my responsibility. But I think, I hope that I'm tracking what you're saying in a sense of there is a place to communicate that's not so ego-driven, that's just from the curiosity of life of going, hey, I noticed this, or... If I didn't notice this, just to register when everybody else says, oh, I noticed it, and you go, God, I just didn't notice that. You know, and just to be like, I just didn't notice that.
Yes. Well, and to me, that's we're on the same page.
Yeah.
So the ego does interfere. It colors the information exchange, either with defensiveness to maintain itself, or offensive in that assumption.
Yeah.
In order to assert itself.
Yeah.
Right? And what you're looking at is, wow, is there a space just for me to notice?
Yeah.
And here's that humility place for me, which is if I did not notice, then it always is interesting to me when someone shows me how to see.
Yes.
Because I haven't seen that way.
Yes.
Because that just adds to a dimension of awareness that I can now register that I never used to be able to register before.
Well, exactly. And so what I'm really seeing is, so Sherry in that Thursday night group went, Zen is blah! And we all went, what? You know, kind of like, it's just that expression of life that comes, this is what I interpreted from all that expression of life. And I'm like, well, that happens with me, but I think it's conditioning that goes blah. You know, I that's the first response, is just like, I want to participate, I want to say something, so blah, you know, and I pick up on what other people have said, versus when I get a chance to sit back and really go, okay, what's the process, not the content? The content was, I smelled it. You know, the content was, I noticed it, right? But that's just the content. It's not the process around it and the process of communicating with it. And it takes me, and I struggled with this in communication with practice itself, of getting past the conditioned.
Mm. Yes.
To, what's the process that's going on?
Yeah. Well, and there are two levels of that which are interesting, right? And the interesting part is to look at it all. Because it's in looking at it that we reveal the layers that we need to go through. Because I think what you're saying, the blah that Sherry was pointing to, I project, is what's the first, am I there for the first impulse of consciousness registering something? It's from that place that I want to speak.
Right.
So a lack of noticing is a lack of paying attention.
Right, right.
If you have receptors to notice.
Right. Well, and that was the whole thing. I mean, the first thing that came to, the first impulse was when I walked in and I went, I should write a note. Like, it was. I should write a note about this. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the process got started, was, yeah, wouldn't everybody know about this? Like, you just got here, you know, you know, you're just new to this place. And, it is that, you know, because I have been practicing with first impulse for a while now, and it's really watching how I get talked out of it, how it gets dismissed, or wondering whether the first impulse really came from conscious awareness, or how it's getting communicated is through the filter of ego.
And that's a very interesting place to look.
That's a really... Yeah.
Yeah. Because I would say, and this is the place that I play with it all the time, is that when consciousness registers it, the registration, the words that are associated to the registration are not necessarily the words with which you communicate it.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Because life tends to speak very cryptically.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then there's that, do I say what I heard? And what I heard is that life?
Right.
Right?
Well, and I'll just say one more thing. I'm going to skip the second thing. But along these lines of, I went to a wedding last week, and it was up in Livermore, and the reception was at a winery. And while I was thinking, you know, it might be interesting to take a trip back up there and be in that, you know, beautiful country. And I thought, that would be fun. And then I went, well, the people who live up there, maybe I should invite them. Well, maybe that should be a wedding present. Well, maybe I could get a whole group of people. And I watched how conditioning took it and turned it into this whole event when it was literally started with, I would love to just go back up there and drive around because it's just so gorgeous. And how that got to, now it's a party. Now it's a wedding gift. In addition, it's like, I don't even know if they would want that. It was this whole, so along those lines of that first impulse and really watching how it can get so manipulated. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if that's what you're kind of pointing to, it's mm-hmm. like, well, how would I communicate that? Well, no, it's not that this is now going to be their way. Because it started with a very, you know, singular impulse of, I just want to go and hang out.
Yes, and I think that that's sort of what we talk about. So I'm here for that.
Yeah.
But I'm gone for everything else afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so then I keep my awareness expanded and it says, oh, let's go back and look.
Yeah.
So then I go, maybe I should go Google how to get there on a weekend and Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm constantly being talked to what the next step is.
Yeah.
But if now I'm planning a wedding gift, I am not present for the next piece of information that's along the chain as to whether or not that registering is going to translate into something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That was very fun.
Thank you. Jen?
There's so much now that I was looking at before, but I think they tie in. In meditation this morning, I mentioned the slide on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got to see in meditation was the recognition of that is one thing. But then what I see has been happening is what do I need to do about that?
Uh-huh.
Instead of just what I know you had mentioned, just this moment, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And mine is right here, right now. Mm-hmm. It's been that way for a while. I mean, that's what works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I need to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exactly, I think, what you're pointing to in the previous conversation is, if it's anything but that, then I'm taken off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it also, seeing how in social situations, I'm just watching with the communication as the focus right now, one of the focuses, and I think it's the same process, of being in different situations, different parts show up to carry the conversation,
mm-hmm.
depending on the circumstance,
mm-hmm.
or what's being talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been fascinating to watch, because there is definitely one part that, and I have, there's no name to this part, but that will initiate the conversation for others' comfort or interest, to show them that there is interest in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like good intent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so I'm just watching. I mean, I just hadn't even recognized that mm-hmm. as one that shows up a lot in those circumstances. And it doesn't feel bad. I don't see anything wrong with it. It's just that sense of responsibility that comes
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-hmm. So two different processes, but similar, I imagine, in the watching of it, right? So the first part about the slide into conditioning is being, there's an awareness of it, And right on the heels of that, the next thing that you notice is the impulse to fix it, but to do something about it.
Yeah.
Right? And so then coming back to right here, right now, that's all. That's just what's next. Because anything other than that is a movement away from here. Right?
Yes.
And that actually believing that noticing conditioning implies doing something is also noticing conditioning.
I'm not sure I followed that. But
well, that the awareness is still, so it's that place of moving back a step, right? So I notice the slide, and so that means I'm noticing conditioning. And then there's the impulse to what is next. So if I believe that, then I have slid in. Mm-hmm. But what you're noticing is if I come to just right here, right now, I notice what do I do next is also conditioning. Yeah. If there wasn't an awareness of it, I would slid in.
Right, right. Got it. Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with relationship and communication. And to me, the interesting part about that is simply the awareness that is being brought to the process. Because when I'm sitting in meditation, my attention can be, because there is no other interaction, my attention can be that specific to note the slide into conditioning,
mm-hmm.
the what do I do about that right here, right now. Everything is slow enough that I can be there for that beat of the thought unfolding. When we're in social situations, I mean, to have that level of attention is hard, but to have an expanded awareness, to have a sense of what's going on is somehow all that we get, right? And so now you're noticing, oh yeah, there is an impulse, the flavor of which is to make people feel listened to or heard or
comfortable
or
yeah.
And that's where it's initiated from. Now, if I know that general pattern, then there's a way in which I can be present enough to know when that arises, to see that whatever I say with that pattern. So the next time, perhaps, you watch the impulse, the first that impulse arise, and you may say it or not, and then watch what happens.
That's really interesting you say that, because I've done that without even recognizing it. But what goes with it of the recognition that there's that impulse, because everyone's silent, or one person, whatever it is, and there's always that, well, I'll start it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been that intentional, no, I'm just going to wait and see, mm-hmm. because that doesn't offer... It's offering something else by not saying something.
Uh-huh.
One way to look at it. And what jumps right on that often is a judgment of the other person or people.
Uh-huh.
Which I see what that is, but it's interesting that jumps on.
And right.
No surprise.
No surprise. But and I don't know if this is the experience that you're pointing at, which is, I watch the impulse to say something. I watch the judgment. And so I'm right here, right? It's the same slide. If I identify with the judgment, it's one experience. If I'm just aware of the judgment, it's another experience.
Yeah. This is so helpful because I can see where I've been experimenting beyond what I've described and what I've seen from that.
Uh-huh.
Like when the judgment came in at one point, I thought, oh, well, then I'm going to speak because I'm not going to let that be held.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And it broke through a whole belief system by doing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. I couldn't even... At the time, it was like a person that I had judged... I had not. Conditioning had judged to be blah, blah, blah. And by making that change, it broke that open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See that person beyond egocentric karmic conditioning's judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the interesting part to me is identity is not wrong.
You mean being identified, or is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Right. Because what arises to respond arises to respond. It's whether or not I'm free,
yes,
is the question.
Yes.
And whether or not I'm suffering is the question. But if I'm paying attention and it's just watching the interplay of whatever the energies are, then I can have fun with it, which is, I'm not going to say anything because I habitually say something and I'm present enough not to follow that impulse. Or I hear judgment and I am going to say something and I learn something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize when that was going on.
Thank you. Adam.
So there's a couple of things that come up for me. One is, the thing that I had wanted to share before, earlier, it still feels relevant, and that is that I was struggling to make a decision about a job, and I made it, and I chose the one that on paper makes the least amount of sense, which is just basically Monday and Tuesdays, and I have Wednesdays and Thursdays off, and I work every other Friday. And what's come up for me around that is a lot of guilt over having that kind of flexibility and freedom to make that decision right now. And this feeling of, you know, just a lot of conditioning is around, like, you should be working. Why are you leaving Wednesday and Thursday open? What for? There's nothing, like, blah, blah, blah. But just knowing, just feeling really clear, and then turning down other jobs that would give me more money and actively making those decisions while this, like, screaming is going on in the background about how this is not a safe choice. And then I go to this hospice training this weekend, because I'm going to be doing some hospice work. And one of the things that comes up is on Wednesday afternoon, there's the care team meetings from 1:30 to 3. If, because you're a volunteer, you're not required to go, but if you happen to be free on Wednesday afternoons, you can go. And I immediately was like, oh, I can go because I turned down all those other dumb jobs, and now I can go do this on Wednesday afternoons. And I literally felt this, like, oh, great. Now she's going to start thinking that this was all part of some divine, you know, plan and da-da-da. And I start to hear, like, it gets louder and louder. And I feel like a kid at a movie theater who's, like, just got her hands over her ears because it's just too loud. And I can sort of feel myself getting identified. I feel it start to happen. I feel myself starting to shrink into the small child who's just being, like, reprimanded and yelled at. And then in that noticing, I can come out of it. And so that sort of is one experience that's happening. And then the other thing that I'm noticing is that when I'm sitting in meditation, I'm not getting hooked by the panic, fear, anxiety stories as much. I'm able to start to go, oh, I'm noticing, wow, how interesting that we were just sitting here and now all of a sudden there's panic, 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 and I can come back. Where I get really far gone is in the good stuff, imagining all the great things that are going to happen and how fun this event is going to be or that thing is going to be and how excited I am about this thing that just happened or that will happen. And so it's the same sort of getting pulled and sucked. It doesn't carry the same sort of, it doesn't carry a bad feeling at all. And so it feels harder to come back because why would I come back? Mm-hmm. Why come back to present when I'm just in this fantasy world of how great everything is? But then I'm going to come back and, like, notice the breath, which is boring. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the two things that I...
So let's start with the second one.
Okay.
So I think we looked at it on Thursday night, right? That what we're doing in meditation is to train the attention, mm-hmm. right? And expand the awareness. That's basically all I'm doing. So if I can notice... that I notice everything that you just said, right? I used to be hooked by panic. It's easier to come back. I'm now hooked by good stuff. More difficult to come back. And there's something that's telling me that coming back to the breath is boring, which I come back from also.
Hmm. Wait, say that again?
I noticed that there's a voice telling me that it's boring to come back to the breath.
Oh.
So okay. I redirect my attention from that as well.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a laboratory situation. It doesn't matter. All I'm training to do is to come back from anything that the voice says.
Oh, okay. So I'm in that...
You're in skills training, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter. If it's good, if it's bad, if it's boring, if it's terrifying, if it's fantasy, all I'm training to do is keep the awareness expanded enough to notice that all these voices are talking to me. My attention is on the voices. Now my attention is back here. That's it. Because it's the analogy, to use a sports analogy, is I'm playing home court and home. What is it called? Home. I'm playing
home court.
Home court advantage. I'm playing at home, or I'm playing in an alien place. I'm playing at a high pressure situation or not a high pressure situation. I can convert the shot. I can do it. No matter what is going on in terms of the circumstances, my ability to be present doesn't change. My ability to have attention on awareness doesn't change. So it's a training ground for, no matter what the circumstances, attention and awareness is a possibility. That's all I'm doing. Right? Mm-hmm. And so you just notice, yeah, breath is boring. Something thinks breath is boring, coming back here. Because part of what I'm doing is losing interest in how I feel.
Well, and that piece feels really scary because, okay, so I'm not identified with panic, anxiety, I'm just noticing it. Not identified with the fantasy world of what will or what was and great and whatever yummy feelings I can conjure up. So then, where am I?
Right, which is this $100 million question. There is no answer to that, right, Autumn? Because I am so confident you will work that out. Mm-hmm. Because you are practicing with it. And here's a perspective, right? Because the reason we start training the attention on awareness is the ability to know when the attention is on this and all of the flavors of it, right? When the Buddha was sitting in meditation on the eve of his enlightenment and Mara sent the armies of seduction and the armies of power and the armies, beautiful dancing girls. It's a test. No matter what is coming at me, whether it's terrifying, seductive, beautiful, earth is my witness, I'm here. So when you look at what is the experience of that, when attention is here, there's a way in which we have to train to know that experience. Mm. And as the pendulum of attention keeps swinging and we can calibrate to what is the experience of here. I don't know the experience of here because I'm not conditioned for attention to be on awareness and to register what that experience is. Eventually in meditation, that's the delicious part of it. Right? That we start to train the receptor to know what presence is. And presence is a label because it's a process. I don't know, in this moment, I don't know what it's going to be. It could be a combination of a boring voice, a fantasy voice, a bird, water falling, but I'm completely here for all of it. And what is that experience of that when consciousness is purely reflected by all senses? Mm-hmm. What is the experience of existence? Mm-hmm. Well, it's only in that moment. I won't know it until I'm here for it. And then in the next moment, it's going to be completely different. But I still need to train the attention to pick it up so I can be present to the experience of that.
What you're describing, it makes me feel really, really like completely groundless.
That would be an experience of it, yeah. For this.
Okay.
Right? For this, attention has to be on it in order for reality to be real.
Hmm. Yeah.
So if everything in life is continuously changing and I have the ability to be part of the current,
yeah,
rather than the rock, then it's actually not a scary place. Oh. Because I don't have a sense of not being attached. Right?
It just sounds scary to condition.
It sounds scary to something that's trying to wrap its head around something it can run. It hasn't the facility for that.
Right. Okay.
Right? But we have the ability to experience life at so many levels that it's not restricted to a linear mental identification.
Okay. Okay.
Right? And so then to go back to what you were talking about the job, right? So there's one way we can practice with it, which is It's all about the content. Did I make the right decision, or did I not make the right decision? Some voice is telling me that it's divine that you chose Wednesday, whatever. And you just notice all of that, right? There's one way of, I'm aware of all of it. Just like you are in meditation. This voice is talking about this, and this voice wants to claim this, and this one has an opinion of that, and this, whatever. My experience is just to notice all of it. Mm. Now, there's a second level you can practice that, which is to make sure, to do what I think we do in the year-long retreat on every content, and you probably did at the TINW, right? You write them all down. And the reason to write them all down and put them on a sticky is to become aware of how you're manipulated. Mm. What will you fall for, right? So there's a belief. There are beliefs and assumptions scattered through all of the voices, which if we practice with seeing what they are, who's here, and what they believe and what they project, assists us to know how subliminally what I'm going to be controlled by. What is my conditioning? And there's an awareness there. So yeah, so she's going to feel better, and then she's going to feel bad if. And then she's going to, right? That conditioning knows completely how to jerk you around.
Yeah.
And so getting clear through the processes of practice, beliefs and assumptions, projections, voices, self-hate, you get really clear about how you're manipulated and how you can be aware to how you're being manipulated, because once you notice it, you can recognize it. And oh, because you're not just noticing it. If you're just noticing it and falling for it anyway, there's a way in which it's still causing you to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things to do when it's escalating is to pick up the recorder and talk about what it's talking about. So it's saying right now that, ha 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 ha, and it's saying right now. And that gives you a way of, if you actually say it out loud, it does not have the ability to escalate its loudness, so you feel like you're a small person being battered.
Oh,
right. I walked around all day with a recorder yesterday talking about what the mind was doing so that I was not in it.
Oh, right. Okay.
And just simply, so now I'm hearing a voice that says ha-ha, and I'm hearing a voice that says ha-ha, but what I'm doing right now is taking the cup, washing it, looking at how clean it is, and putting it back into the dishwasher. Now I'm taking the 5 steps to the back door. I'm opening the back door and actually talking what I am actually doing so that I'm not here. It was one of the most fascinating 24 hours I spent, because I watched how easily, if I wasn't doing that, I was in a conversation, whether it's benign or not.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Carolyn.
There was a lovely blue lizard who lived here at center for a while. And I found his body last week. And what I watched was immediately this thing of, I need to look up how long they live, and maybe he only lives one summer. And it, all of a sudden, it was like I was slapped. It didn't want me to feel what I was feeling, which was this profound sense of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And because I loved this lizard. And so it was just, it was really good to see how I do that. I gather information and console myself with that information so that I don't have to feel the pain. And yet, when I granted myself that permission, it wasn't pain. It wasn't what I was told to fear. It was just another example of the lie and the trying to remove me from that direct experience of that. And in doing that, he wasn't gone anymore. And he's not gone. I hold him, and there's a deeper thing that I was seeing during the discussion this morning of we're all chameleons. And when we're watching through love's eyes, we're changing color and shape-shifting all of the time. When I was with him, I was a lizard. I was a blue lizard, and I can shape-shift like that, and I can change color. But if I'm looking at life through conditioning lenses, I have to be one color, and I have to be that color all the time, and it's usually a pretty, and the appropriate color,
mm-hmm.
not the color in direct response to mm-hmm. that. And the other thing was I saw a special this past week on octopus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're amazing.
Have you read the book?
No, mm-hmm. I was an octopus for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just that we're so limited by conditioning's view of color and a response and communication and what's appropriate to say and not to do. And so just to see how other creatures and to learn, to have these teachers that show us a more direct experience,
mm-hmm.
it's just mm-hmm. such a gift.
Yeah. So many things in what you were talking about, right, Callan, that to me, that place of being allowed to recognize that awareness is aware of all that is, that if we're in conditioning's eyes, as I heard you say, then this is what this is, mm-hmm. and that is what that is. That's a blue lizard. This is a limited human being of one dimension and one color. Without recognizing that, there's the only way that lizard was experienced was being the lizard,
yeah.
right? The awareness that it was aware of the lizard was the lizard also.
Yes.
That you could not have an experience of the lizard. You could only have an experience of yourself as the lizard,
yeah.
right? And that we have the capacity, if we let go of the lens of conditioning, to experience ourselves as all of awareness in all of its forms, however they reveal themselves to us.
Yes.
So I am the octopus for an hour. I am the blue lizard that lives in the at center. I'm the love that loves the lizard. I am the love that feels the loss of the lizard. And to also notice that there is a process that, as you described, prevents me from having an experience of that.
Mm-hmm.
That my direct experience of life is always being interfered with by a limitation that separates me from it.
Yes. Yeah. And there's almost a pulse or a, you know, we've talked about calibrating, and there's that. There's a rhythm and that you know what we say, that there is no self and other as the pure as the awareness of pure undisturbed consciousness. It's like that slipping into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
It's a
beautiful. I don't have words for it.
Yeah. Well, another thing that dropped in for me was in that. If the awareness is expanded enough, I think that we experience ourselves in all of the dimensions you're talking about, right? The experience of grief at loss, followed by, because that's a process. There's a love for an object. So I'm this, that's that. That's one experience. Then I am the object. Or the object is me. That's a different experience. And I have to go through that process of dissolution and union and separation without it being a problem.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah?
And also that I will one day,
yes,
be gone.
Yeah.
In this form.
Yes.
And that to not stop at looking at that as well.
Yes.
And to look at, you know, the advanced healthcare directive.
and all of that, that responsibility that comes with seeing. Mm-hmm. Not blame, not, but, okay, there's something here for me to follow through on that. Mm-hmm. This is something that has opened a door to walk into another room, that there's another piece of information here, mm-hmm. which then opens a door appears that wasn't there to, which, it's interesting that the death of this blue lizard that I am now looking at, there's a service that a veterinarian will come to your home so that you don't have to take your animal to the vets when it's time. And I'm looking into that as well. And getting past this conditioned thing of you can't even think that because then you'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. No, I am going to take on the responsibility of this because I don't want it to be a panicked, ego-driven, I don't know what to do when the time comes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And what I hear you saying, right, Callan, is that when we're here, everything enlightens.
Yes.
And so if I'm paying attention to my experience, life is always talking to me.
Yes.
So in the death of this lizard, it was such a gift to be able to confront what you had not seen.
Yes.
And an invitation to then explore that.
Yes.
Okay? Loss, love, form to emptiness, emptiness to form. You don't lose anything you love. That's always a part of you. If love is that place, then there is the ability from love to explore death for all forms. This one, my animals, and to do it from love and not from fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. To see it through the eyes of love and then to take the next step looking through those same eyes. Mm-hmm. Not letting someone else push me out of the way so that I'm looking at those through those eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, through the conditioned lens.
Yes.
Either this conditioned lens or the social condition lens, right? About
yes.
how to deal with
yes.
whatever you need to deal with.
Yes.
This is what to do.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Phil.
Yeah, I had a very interesting experience last week at this conference I was attending. And I went with a co-worker, my co-partner in this job. And it was great. I mean, I was having a good time, so that was fine. But we were going to the same talks and stuff, so we were together quite a bit. And it was just so interesting because I would watch that. For the most part, she was in a good mood, but she would get. The easiest way to say it, it's not in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched much harder it was to communicate anything, I mean, even just to have a conversation, when she was like that. And so there was two things. I watched how conditioning made it hard. You know, I know it was a conditioned reaction. I didn't have to talk to her, but I know that that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw how it was saying, like, God, what did I do wrong? Or, she must be mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just those things. And when it kind of sunk in, I was, you know, that, because it would kind of sink in a little bit. And I would notice that it was there, you know, it's all about me. I could just, I'm not sure I just let go, but I could just be there and just be with her and not, and it didn't break the, for me anyhow, I don't know what was going on with her. The connection, or, you know, I didn't feel any loss of love, and I don't mean for her, but just in general. So there was that, but, and then there was, but this in a voice saying, well, I think you, maybe you should ask her or communicate with her or something like that, let her know. But what I, and I don't know if this was right or wrong, but what I see that what I did was, in a way, and I can see this more after, but there was this, yes, and I'm the one that's experiencing the experiences that really had nothing to do with her, whether she was mad at me or not, which I have no idea. And I know her well enough, because I mean, the next thing she'd be all right, she'd be happy to get an experience. But I did watch how my experience changed when she was like that, and my feelings and everything. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm also noticing that how now, after the fact, being, you know, coming back and everything, the conditioning saying stuff like, well, you should have done this, or you should have done that, or you didn't communicate, or, you know, like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that part we know what to do with, just not believe it.
We don't,
right?
We just
get it, ignore it. Don't feel bad. But the interesting part that for me, right, Phil, that I want to reflect back to you because it's so critical is that's how we practice with it, right? Because I just find it fascinating to not have any conclusions about any of these things.
Right, right. There is nothing I can conclude.
There's a way in which I register a change in energy in the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have to attribute any meaning to it,
mm-hmm.
but it's a sense of, okay, there's a change here.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligence registers change in energy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that is about. I don't know what's going on for her. But when that change happens, when intelligence registers that change in energy, there's a change in energy here.
Yeah.
I can pay attention to what's going on for me.
Yeah.
And what's going on for me is a conditioned process that is making it hard for me to be completely here because my attention is on it.
Yes.
I can describe it saying, oh, well, did I do something wrong? Is it really my fault? Is it something that I need to ask her about? Mm-hmm. That conversation is capable of taking me out of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's capable of disconnecting me from the love that I experience.
Yes.
The love.
Yes.
Oftentimes, if I'm totally identified with it.
Yes.
Or if I'm centered, I can just notice how the attention is going to that conversation.
Yes.
And if it goes completely to that conversation, I might act out of it.
Yeah.
Or I might just get here, watch it, and then see what arises, which could be, okay, well, I don't know what's going on for you, but it's arising for me to find out. I can facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to make it about me, and I don't have to make something wrong about you, but I can totally ask to go, is everything all right?
Mm-hmm.
And she might go, no, everything isn't, and whatever, or actually there's nothing going on.
Yeah, I did ask her a couple of times, are you all right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so
that's
right. And so there's a way in which, I don't know this, it's not always true and it's always worth not making any conclusions about it,
mm-hmm.
that I don't want to be in relationship with ego here or here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I choose not to engage, it's, I'm choosing not to engage with ego anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're identified and I can't facilitate you out of your identification because
mm-hmm.
you're not open to it,
mm-hmm.
then I don't have to engage with ego.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that means I don't lose connection to life and I don't lose connection to the authenticity that's you. But I'm certainly not attending or engaging with ego in anywhere.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So, thank you.
Yeah, there could be a way in which it escalates and they come at you and now you have to reflect and hopefully your reflection will get them out of their bad mood. But
Right. And the other thing about it is she is a sensate, very, you know, on the Myers-Briggs, very strong sensate. And I used to be a very strong That's the opposite of that, to intuit. Mm-hmm. Now, practice has brought me at least more towards that.
Everything's available to you now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more awareness, but I'm still not that eagle eye kind of sensate some people are. So, like, this one time I put, it was like, we're sitting on these chairs, and I put my suitcase here, and sat over here. I mean, it wasn't that far from it. Nobody else was there. And now we were talking. She's looking this way. I'm looking that way. And finally, this lady came up and said, oh, can I sit? Is anybody sitting? Oh, no, no, nobody's sitting here. Sit down. And I said, I'll move that out of the way. And we moved it over here. And she says, you know, there were several people that came by eyeing that chair. I said, if you see something I don't, tell me. I mean, it would have been so simple.
There's such a lot of complexity in an interaction like that. I mean, it's like 1,000 levels of practice. Because, first of all, there's no communication happening.
No.
Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you about it, but I'm going to make you feel bad that you didn't notice.
Yeah, I don't know if she was doing that or not. I have no idea. I mean, she's a very loving, kind person, but I think she has this streak.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting for us to practice with that, right? Because the conditioned response, I would project. So, you have the best intention in the world. And I would project that the way conditioning gets to you is to question your intention of goodness.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so if you had known, you would have done the same thing you did with this woman who wanted to sit on the chair and actually communicate. I mean, do people have no ability to say, excuse me, can I have this chair?
I know.
Right? And no ability to communicate, oh, I saw someone looking for a chair, Phil. Would you mind moving your suitcase?
Yeah.
Right? Everybody in their own little world doing whatever it is.
It's so typical.
And so typical.
Yeah.
And so then we're made to, because we go to that place of feeling bad.
Right.
Why didn't you say something?
Yeah.
It's what Sherry says, grit your teeth and wish people would communicate.
Yeah.
Which is what she's talking about.
Exactly.
If you noticed someone who needed the chair, tell me.
Right.
I would move it. I have no problem moving that.
Yeah, so something like that happened 2 times, and it was just to me, it's just so amazing, you know.
Yeah.
It was all that you have to do, just like you say, something.
Yeah.
And, or it was something I just really didn't see. It was a line, you know, a long line, and there were two places to pay, I guess, and she was over here paying, and I had found exactly what I wanted, and so I walked by, and I actually saw in my mind Starbucks or something like that where you know, you buy what you want at this line, or you order it here and you pick it up here. So I went right by and went up with where she was, and I didn't have any money, you know, she had to pay, but at that point, but she got ticked off really bad because I had cut line. And I said, I really didn't cut. I thought, you know, and sure, I read it all wrong, but it was, you know, something fast. And it's just so interesting, those kind of interactions where, I mean, I did communicate, but that's kind of that what led up to me. What was the word? Second guessing, in a sense, some of my why she was feeling certain ways at certain times.
Right.
Not what else did I do?
Which is also good to see.
Yeah.
Right. And to me, that's one of my favorite places to practice, where I notice that I can be made to feel bad. Because I actually take what the person is saying as a criticism or judgment of me. Like, I feel defensive.
Yes.
And so one of the ways I practice, I've been practicing this a lot, is just no matter what someone says, to reflect it in my head.
And that's a good practice. Yeah.
Because there, what I'm practicing is not going to the hook that makes me feel.
Yeah, it's making me stay here.
That's right. Yeah. It's like, oh, that is your experience. It's not my experience. Mm-hmm. Because my experience, if I stayed with it, is I didn't actually see. There was a complete innocence there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not allowed to have my experience of innocence because the circuit of conditioning is so well worn of feeling judged and criticized because I haven't seen something.
Exactly.
And going with that as opposed to my experience of myself as innocence. Mm-hmm. Right? And so the way to counteract that, it's that Sherry's friend would say, oh, let me see how that is so for me. But I don't have the ability to do that if that conditioned groove can kick in and go, oh, I'm so sorry, but I didn't, or please, we should have said something, or whatever that is. And so always to reflect what the person is saying as a way for me to sidestep.
Yeah, that's very good, very good. You know, and the good news is, because I've been practicing, none of that stayed.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I could pick up the next moment and just be as happy and being okay.
Yeah.
And if that was before practice, my whole time would have been ruined and I'd have been, you know. Yeah. So it's just...
Yes.
It just makes life such more fun because even these places, like you're saying, like we're talking about, are, you could say experiments or
right.
explorations.
Yes,
or,
and we live life on many levels,
yeah.
right? Because the context of being okay and well-being doesn't shift.
No.
Then there are moments of feeling bad, but we recover much, much more quickly.
Yeah.
And then there's a way in which the continuity of our process becomes available for inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see that, now I have insight into, and so I'm living on all these levels all the time.
Yeah, because you know what I saw as time was going on? I saw conditioning starting to talk about her.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, no, I'm not going there because that's really what will start destroying us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't really like this person. So,
yes. It's so screw tape letters, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah. that the people that you have are most in touch with are the people that can start to become your enemy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it does it. It does a number. It really tries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it does.
It does. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.